Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. And this is Samara Luna.
And this is Raven Dahl.
And the Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the community, things we think the pagan community should be knowing and discussing. Although anything that kind of comes our way, we pretty much talk about. So tonight's show, with it being the holiday season, we thought we would discuss presents. You want to talk about
Yay,
presents. So, first, I just want to give a little quick history about presents.
Presents, of course, was not really, a lot of the Christians associate presents with the wise men and giving presents to baby Jesus. Now, presents were given during some pagan holidays during this time of year too, like Saturnalia. I can't even say it right. Is it Saturnalia? Am I saying that right?
Saturnalia. Uh huh.
So, which was a Roman festival in honor of the deity Saturn. It was celebrated with a sacrifice of the Temple of Saturn in the Roman Forum, a public banquet followed by private gift-giving, and continual partying in a carnival atmosphere. I believe it was also known as the time where the slaves would get to feast like their masters, kind of a role reversal.
Uh-huh.
I know there's some other festivals too, but for some reason that's the only thing I'm finding right now. Well, there's also, and you mentioned this, Krampus.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of
that, because I think someone's wanting to come on the air, so why don't you tell everyone a little bit about Krampus and how that pertains to gift-giving while I check on who this is.
Well, Krampus is more of a holiday. It's kind of the Christmas, could be the easier way to put it. But basically, he's described as half goat, half demon, and he punishes children who have misbehaved, in contrast to St. Nicholas, who rewards the well-behaved with gifts. And he's considered a companion of St. Nicholas in the regions including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovenia, and Northern Italy. They're not really sure of his origins. And they're pretty sure that the figure Krampus predates Christianity. Every year they have a Krampuslauf, which is a Krampus run where young men is dressed as Krampus. They run through the town. And it's also featured on holiday greeting cards. The holiday, the reason Krampus tends to run through the area is because Krampus tends to, he's supposed to basically almost scare people into being good. and doing what they're supposed to do. And if you don't follow, if you're not a good person, you get rewarded by Krampus, which is not a pleasant thing. Because he also carries like a scourge with him. He's been the one credited that would put a lump of coal in children's stockings. Because those are the children that misbehaved. The myth kind of morphed into Santa Claus. He kind of got forgotten in some areas, and in other areas people thought and was like, wait a second, because it's a rather old tradition and an old custom. But that's pretty much what Krampus is all about. Samara, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, and Lady Vanessa has joined us again tonight. She's just going to become a regular on the show.
Maybe. I enjoy your all discussion.
So, and I forgot to mention earlier that Saturnalia is on December 17th, so that's only like a little over a week away.
Ooh.
So.
I think that was a big party, wasn't it, for the Romans?
Yeah,
it was.
Huge party, gift giving. Exchange. I mentioned earlier it was an exchanging of roles. The slaves got to have a big feast while the masters served them. So
that doesn't happen.
And
real.
Then.
No,
it doesn't. And then also, as far as gifts being given on Christmas or Christmas Day, that actually started in Victorian times. Did you know that?
Yes, it did.
It started with Queen Victoria giving presents on Christmas Eve to her kids and her husband.
I did not know that.
Original gifts were given, I believe, originally in the Middle Ages, gifts were given on Twelfth Night.
Well, they were given on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve.
Well, and also Twelfth Night as well.
Yeah, because I know one of the things I read said they were given on New Year's Day as something to kind of help start the new year off right. I want to go back to that. I want a gift on New Year's Day. let's see, and then so that started on Christmas Eve. They kind of started giving presents then. And then also, let's see, and not only was that, she gave the gifts, what it was in Queen Victoria's children got Christmas Eve gifts in 1850, including sword and armor. In 1841, she gave her husband, Prince Albert, a miniature portrait of her as a 7-year-old. In 1859, she gave him a book of poetry by Lord Tennyson. Now, I know the Catholic Church had adopted it, and then and when they adopted Christmas, and then the Puritans kind of said, no, we're not doing Christmas, and got rid of it for a while. Also, I guess you can't really look at presents without looking at St. Nicholas. Now, there's plenty of stories about St. Nicholas. A lot believe that he started out as St. Nicholas of Myra, a real-life 4th-century Byzantine monk who handed out bags of money to the poor. He was introduced to the U.S. in the early 1800s. And quickly mutated into the right jolly old elf thanks to the 1823 poem A Visit from St. Nicholas, commonly known as "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." I didn't know that was kind of what started all in the U.S. Did you?
Thought it was Coca-Cola.
No.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Well, in the 1800s and to the 1890s, it was kind of the poem. They were meeting limestone in the poem in the department stores in the 1890s. The new name having taken from the Dutch version of St. Nicholas, which is Sinterklaas.
And then it was the 1930s that Coca-Cola started putting its face all over everything.
Yeah, and well, you know, hey folks, just so you know, Odin and Santa Claus are very similar. There's a lot of similarities there.
Tie those together for us.
Give
us a brief preview of what you're going to be discussing on Human Perspective. Just tie Santa and Odin together a little bit.
Okay, so first off, Santa has 8 reindeer. Odin has a horse by the name of Sleipnir, who has 8 legs. They're both wanderers. Both tend to leave gifts sometimes. Sometimes, you know, and it depends on who you listen to. There's a big gift-giving culture around both of them.
What's the gift-giving culture around Odin, though?
A lot of it is wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom stuff around Odin.
And I know there's more similarities than that.
Oh, there is. There is. Actually, I'm pull the rest of them up. Those are the ones that I know off the top of my head.
Well, I think some say, don't they say that some of the old clothing comes from that tradition also?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to make it real easy. Santa, known for serial trespassing and unnatural interest in children. Odin, known for filling the season blood of his murdered great grandfather. You know him, love him. You probably sat on his lap and left him cookies. But Santa Claus and that jolly old fat man, known worldwide for spreading Christmas joy to well-behaved children, has a dark secret. Santa had another gig long before he donned the red suit. Santa was in fact Odin, the decadal king of the Norse gods, and here's the irrefutable proof.
that unnatural interest in children.
Okay. The Vikings had a rich culture and belief system. Chief among them, the Norse gods, was Odin, the god of wisdom, magic, and poetry before. Although actually the Viking gods were gods of war, the Vikings really liked war. In Norse creation, actually the original god Ymir, who was also Odin's great-grandfather. From Ymir's course, Odin created the world, the oceans from his blood, the mountains from his bones, and the heavens from his skull. Odin spent most of his time in pursuit of wisdom, a quest for which he sacrificed an eye and even hugged himself by the neck for 9 days. Odin was often depicted as a wandering old wizard with a long white beard, and Tolkien used this image for Gandalf the Grey. Norse tradition was passed through storytelling, poetry, and song. So when Christianity flips its way across the Viking territory, like Vikings, it was easy for the new belief system to supplant the Norse culture. But the Norse traditions were still there right beneath the surface. We invoke the names of Norse deities on a daily basis. Wednesday, Odin's Day, Thursday, Thor's Day, and Friday, Freya and Frigg's Day. So here's the Santa and Odin connection. They both come from the same place. And here's something. Both Santa and Odin are creepy old German shape-shifting wizards, West was weirdly awesomeness before Coca-Cola reinvented him in the 1930s. Santa was a tall, wizardly-looking fellow, much like Odin or the Great Wanderer. Santa and Odin have virtually the same gig. Santa lives in a secret hideout near the North Pole. Odin hails from the frozen wastelands of northern Europe. These two locales may seem worlds apart to the world. It's just a place up north where no sane person would ever live. They both have the same crew, elves. And, of course, they both have the same rides, which is Santa has 8 reindeer. Sleipnir has 8 legs. They also have the same emote. We're all familiar with Santa's tradition of flying around the world on December 25th, leaving of cookies and the filling of stockings. But Norse children also anticipated the coming of Yule, for it meant a visit from Odin. Late December marked the end of the Great Hunt, when Odin would ride through the villages. Children would fill their boots with straw and set them on the hearth for Sleipnir. In return, Odin would fill the boots with toys and candy. There were no cookies for Odin, leaving some to believe that Odin fed exclusively on fear and puppies. And another, you know, so that's kind of some of the similarities that's out there.
Now, Lady Vanessa, is there anything that you have heard about the origins of gift giving that maybe we haven't mentioned?
Wow, yeah. Put me on the spot. No, I really don't have to say about the traditions as that may relate in modern times to our various pagan paths. I know that gift giving used to be a lot simpler. Obviously, it wasn't as commercialized. In earlier times, I remember my older aunt talking about giving nuts and pieces of fruit and very simple things. And, of course, you know, they remember back to the Great Depression, so there was that. But it wasn't about giving people, you know, TVs and things like that. So
no one ever likes the boring. Sorry, Doctor Who moment.
Right. Well,
no one knows what I'm talking about. Ravenfire, you should know.
Oh, I'm snickering over here.
Okay. It's like, okay, everybody's just going on. No one's acknowledging it. No one knows what I'm talking about.
Nobody likes the bloody oranges.
For those that don't watch Doctor Who, there was one of the Christmas episodes, he meets Santa. And he yells at Santa, no one likes the bloody oranges.
Right.
See,
I
didn't know that was like I didn't know that that was a British custom, too, to put oranges in the stockings.
Yep. They have a lot of different traditions. I like the Christmas crackers that they have, the things you pull on either end and they pop open with a toy in the inside and a little poem or a joke. Those are in particularly the 11th Doctor's episodes. I remember them. But that's very British tradition.
And the
crackers. Yeah, I remember that, and also Harry Potter.
Well, Harry Potter would be British, yes. That's true, too.
Yes. And Harry Potter, that's how he gets his first wizard chess set.
I don't think chess sets would fit, but Harry Potter's a magical world, so, you know, there you go.
Have you read it?
I have not read all of the Harry Potter, no. I admit it.
He gets his first chess set at Christmas morning when they do the crackers, and he gets a wizard chess set from it.
That's very cool. Okay. Well, anyway, there are lots of various pagan histories with gift giving, and it's usually, like I say, it's more probably down to earth than what we're used to today, but anyway. Tradition is that we exchange gifts for different holidays. Yeah. Yule, I don't know if we do or not, but Yule is a big fire festival. We probably should plug that. And traditionally, like, set the Yule log on fire, keep a piece of it till next year to like a piece of charcoal piece and relight your fire. I don't think that's much of a gift, but, you know,
certainly a tradition.
I received a Yule log as a gift 1 year.
What?
That's cool.
I received a Yule log as a gift 1 year. My friend Rose, she had cut down a tree in her backyard, and she made a Yule log for me and a Yule log for her, and she gave me one for as a late Yule gift. Like, it was after Yule, so we saved them until the next Yule to use them.
Very cool. Yeah, I had two that friends had given me. I gave one away to a friend a couple, 3 years ago now. And I still have one with the three holes for the candles. You know, I don't burn mine, but I keep it year to year and just use candles. I think a lot of people do that now, considering most of us don't have bonfires. But they make a good gift.
Well, my husband 1 year made some for a couple of my friends. It was actually my two friends that introduced me to paganism. He took logs and drilled holes in them for big candles.
Right.
Because we didn't have fireplaces, so he drilled holes in them for big candles so we'd have a symbolic Yule log.
Right. Well, I think that's what a lot of people do for their Yule logs today. I actually saw a glass Yule log for sale. It was a beautiful thing for sale online some weeks back. I was like, wow. With three places for, like, tapers, I guess. Well, they weren't tapers. It was more like, I think, for tea lights or something. A big glass log. It was lovely, but it was glass. You never know what you're going to see.
That sounds
out
really neat.
Yeah, I would
make
really
that sounds really neat.
Gift. Would actually make a pretty good gift for somebody, I'm sure.
Okay, so now I kind of want to, speaking of a really good gift for someone, let's discuss what might be some good gifts for pagans. We all have, you know, we all know about pagan vendors, of course, and shopping local is always good. And I know that quite a few pagan vendors out there, I don't want to seem like I'm playing favoritism, so I really don't want to go into all of them. So I came across this really interesting article, though. It says, four things you need to know when shopping for Wiccan gifts. And the first thing it said is, what do Wiccans need? And it says there are certain standard things that most Wiccans use. And then it gives an altar tools list. Of course, it does go on to say, well, maybe you shouldn't get them an athame or a wand or a book of shadows or a rope or spell supplies because that's something that they usually want to get themselves.
I would have
now,
to agree
well,
with
as that. Right. And I would, too. Now, as far as the other altar stuff, I don't know if I would feel comfortable buying any of my pagan friends' altar items because most of my pagan friends, it's a really personal decision for them. And, I mean, even for me, it's, you know, even down to the bell and the candles and you know, I mean, if you use a bell, it is, or chalice or any of that stuff. I feel like it's a really personal thing.
I think perhaps candles are one thing that I literally burn through constantly. I would never turn down candles. But, but even incense, I mean, wow, some of them have the strangest odors, and they smell differently to different people, I think. You know, so even that can get pretty. But I'm always willing to try new incense, so that might be a good gift. Most Wiccans like any kind of stone or rock. That is usually fairly okay. I mean, they'll put it as a decorative ornament, if nothing else. If it doesn't particularly appeal to them for an altar use. But those are good things, I think, overall. Candles, different stones, incense usually. But yeah, when it comes to something like a robe or a fami or a bell, something you really use
very intense personalized energies become part of it, yeah, that's probably not something you want to give unless it's somebody you know really well. Yeah, I would have to agree
right.
with that.
One exception that I would say, which would probably make actually a good gift, would be one of those, you know, like the mini traveling portable altar sets, the 10 sets that you can buy or make.
That's true.
I mean, those, because those aren't really that personalized. When you buy them in a set, you kind of personalize them yourself. You kind of put your own energy into them after you cleanse it and such. So I would say, I mean, I'm just saying personally, I would say, you know, that could be an exception that would
right.
make a good gift.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because I know Raven
right.
Fire and I were talking about making some to sell for the community center at one point. We just never got around to doing it because there's a lot more stuff
right.
that goes into it once you start looking at how to make them than you realize.
Right. Right. I had constructed a small, you're talking about miniature altar setups, right?
Yeah, like I've seen where people find pieces
right.
so small that they can fit into like a mint tent.
Yeah, no, that's a little over the top. But I have seen things that are pretty odd like that. I had one I made that was about a small 3x3 balsa wood box, I guess it was, and I constructed that. And that actually moved at that last event at Market for Mischief. I was delighted, really, that it went to a good home. But anyway, the idea of making something like that is interesting. I know I have a piece that Jada made, and I was going to use it to teach a class. I actually never ended up teaching on creating sacred space, but I have one of her miniature altars that hangs on the wall, and it's a lovely little thing. And it's very small. It is smaller than the one, at least the interior part where you store items is very small. You couldn't get much of a Sammy in. Be more like a miniature pocket knife. But it's cute, and the idea is that you get to take a semblance of your spirituality with you, and sometimes it's hard to travel with sharp, pointy things anyway, so...
Right. It, you know what's cool, though, is that I did find something. There's a list of, it says 10 pagan DIY gifts for Yule, do-it-yourself gifts. Some of these I would not say you should make for someone, like one, unless you know that they really, really need it, like a protection mojo bag. That would just, to me, that's just kind of weird to be like, oh, here's a protection mojo bag for you, even though you probably may not want it or need it. Or
yeah,
or,
I have made mojo bags before for people, but usually because they wanted it. So it wasn't really out of the blue. They had concerns and they had voiced them, and they were for protection or... For in relationships I've been in for my other half at the time, you know, my lover at the time, so I've done that.
Yeah,
so
well, yeah,
they
that's different. It's not just like, oh, here's a Yule gift.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of strange to just give away magic. It's, which is what that is.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Yeah, like another candle. Thing that says is a carved candle.
Just throw candles in. What? Sorry.
Well, this one says a carved candle, and I'm like, okay, I agree with you getting like how you mentioned earlier, you can always use candles. But
oh, yeah.
I'm not sure about actually carving a candle and decorating it and putting your energy into it and then giving it to someone. They may not appreciate it.
Well, maybe if you just put their magical name on it or their mundane name on it, that might be kind of fun, you know? Or
yeah, that would
like
be
that.
More like a token, yeah.
Yeah, more like that. And you know, as far as putting a magical intent on something, if they voice that, or if you know them well enough to know what their concern is, that might be one thing, though. If they're in school and you say, hey, this might help you with your homework, that maybe it's not too bad if that's been something they've been concerned with. I think it sometimes it just depends on how well you know them.
Right. So,
yeah.
Here's a cool idea. Yule smudge sticks. They are actually called Yule smudge sticks, and it says, in order to do it yourself, you will need sage, lavender, cedar, or pine. Any or all of these can be used, or add your own favorite herb for protection, and embroidery floss. Bundle the herbs together and tie tightly. If the herbs are very fresh, you will need to wait until they dry out and can be burnt. That's kind of a cool idea, because that's just a general smudge stick.
Right. Well, yeah, smudge sticks are something most of us like. And although I do know a few people that are actually allergic to the sage ones, I had gotten one made out of something that wasn't sage. Gosh, not cedar either. It was
That grass? What is that grass?
It's not lemongrass. Being the M, it's over here. Mugwort. Mugwort. I bought one made out of mugwort, and I really liked it. Because mugwort's also an herb that very gently is supposed to help one, you know, go into an alternative state. So that's a really good one.
Another thing that's mentioned is the incense stick holder. I'm going to tell you right now, I would suggest not buying an incense stick holder for a pagan, because most likely they have a million of them already, unless there's one that they specifically want.
I agree. There's too many on the market.
Unless you're somebody who likes to hand make stuff, because, like, for me, a couple of Yules, I was on this kick of, I had time where I was hand making everything, and you can actually recycle a wine bottle and make a very nice incense holder out of a wine bottle and a keychain. Or a jump
right.
from a keychain.
Right. I saved on the top. I discovered instead of using the cut split jump ring, just get one of the alligator clips from one of the hobby shops, because you sit there all day. Well, you don't have as much problem in glass, but when you have the wooden ones, the wooden incense hangers, getting the incense into the split ring is hard. So I usually just use an alligator clip now for my hanging ones, the bottles and stuff. Those are really cute gifts, too, by the way. I have to agree. They're great gifts.
Well, see, I don't use sticks very often. And I have, like,
right.
20. And I have, like, 20 of the stick holder, the incense stick holder. And I don't use – and I don't really use stick incense. Because usually when I use incense, because my husband's really particular about smells. So when I do use incense, I usually do it, you know, with dried herbs and make my own and grind it up in a mortar and pestle and put all my energy into it. Unless I'm hard up for time, I don't really use stick incense. I use charcoal and the incense, you know, charcoal bowl and all that. But yet, I still have like 20 incense stick holders laying around because I've gotten them as gifts. And I'm not talking about like a nice bottle one. I'm talking about like where someone just goes out and buys a little, you know, little incense gift set.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, those are probably not a good idea. My favorite stick incense burner is one of my little cauldrons filled with sand, and I put it in there, and it just looks nice. I don't use sticks for every occasion, but gosh, I run through charcoal discs too fast if I use them when I'm doing every meditation. So, but I do like
in stock, but then I stopped using them for a while. So now the self-lighting part of all my charcoals have gone bad because I bought this huge box of them. So I have to like keep a flame to them for like 30 minutes for them to light now.
Yeah. Well, anybody who uses charcoal discs
can also use a pair of ice tongs, the small, you know, ice bucket ice tongs. That's always a good gift if they don't own a pair. One of my favorite people actually use a, they have a pair of sacred altar pliers. You know, it's just, it works, but it's just not elegant. But it does work. Funny.
Hey, if it works.
The sacred altar pliers, yeah.
Yeah.
Another gift that's mentioned that I think actually is a good idea because it could be, it could be used for other things, not just what's being given for. But like tarot, crystal, and rune pouches. You know, tarot bags or rune bags. Those
pouches
bags, because people,
yeah.
I mean, people get those and they will use them as purses. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So it's not, so that actually would be a good gift, I think.
For years, a bunch of gamers have joked that Crown Royal provides us a dice bag with a little whiskey thrown in.
Right, indeed. They certainly do.
Hey, tarot cards fit in it, too.
I once bought a bottle of Crown Royal maple, which was a big mistake, even though Canadians do know maple syrup, just to get the brown bag because it wasn't a purple Crown Royal bag. They have other colors now. So that's kind of funny.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I'm not much for Canadian whiskey. I prefer Kentucky bourbon, but I wanted to throw something out. We're talking about ideas for what can you do for your friends for the pagan holidays. And I just want to throw out there that in days gone by, at least back in the early 80s, there used to be so many open potlucks in the community. And I wanted to remind folks, there are those who are estranged from their own families, often or sometimes because of their beliefs. And it's nice to open our doors for pagan potlucks and welcome other people in for the holiday. You know, we also call that in the mundane world, we call it Heaven and Orphans Holiday and Orphans Yule and Orphans Christmas. Invite people in because, you know, some people don't have a place to go. And for whatever reason, so it's good to celebrate with friends. So it's probably one of the best gifts you can give.
Yes. So if you can't afford to buy or make something, just invite someone over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Invite people over.
It is time for us to take a quick break. I just want to say real quick that. Ravenfire and I are both having issues with Java, apparently, on our computers and are having trouble getting in the chat. We had this issue last week, and we're still having it this week, so we apologize if you're trying to get in the chat and can't. Also, for those that have called in, if you would like to join our conversation, you can press 1, and we can bring you on the air. I'm going to play a song now for us to take a quick break. It is by Emerald Rose, and it's the song to play this time of year. 10 points if you can guess who it is, or what it is, the song is.
Santa's Pagan Too.
Yep. So I'm sorry, I'm going to go to an old traditional pagan song that's been around for a while. So here it is. Emerald, huh?
I said that's perfectly okay, I love this song.
All right. So here we go, it's Emerald Rose and Santa Claus is Pagan Too.
Belly and his top's the holly king. You dressed him in that British coat, the cap's a Nordic thing. You took the horns right off his head and stuck them on his ear, but he still flies high like Jupiter with a belly full of beer. Hey, Santa Claus is big. cookies too, cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Now history says Christ was likely not a Capricorn, but if you want to share our Yule, we don't care when he's born. Come celebrate the dawning of the Sun King's bright rebirth, and if you practice what you preach, we'll all have peace on earth. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too, cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Jolly than most Christians would require, and if he weren't so busy, he'd be dancing round his fire. Yeah, you can call it Christmas, you got a sleigh outgunned, but just you wait till Beltane, then we'll see who's having fun. Oh, oh. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest, and if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too, cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too, cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too.
All right, and welcome back. Sorry about that. There was my computer froze up for a second. So that was Emerald Rose and Santa Claus is Pagan too. And with me here on the Tree of Life Hour is I'm from Marilena, and with me is Raven Fire Doll and Lady Vanessa, and we are discussing pagan gifts. So the first part of the show, we discussed a little about the history of gifts as during the holiday season. And now we're kind of discussing different items that would be good or maybe even not good as gifts for someone who's pagan. So, Ravenfire, as a heathen, what do you think are some good gifts?
Okay, for heathens, I can make this really, really simple. Heathens love drinking horns. Drinking horns are always a hit. Also, good alcohol, almost always a hit. Almost
mead.
Always a hit.
Specifically mead.
Mead or whiskey. Whiskey works too. Because some of us actually like whiskey a little better than mead, but mead is good.
Alcohol usually makes a good gift for any pagan or Wiccan.
Yeah.
Bring it to a housewarming party, it or any party, it makes a great host and hostess, host or hostess gift. Yeah, I have to agree. She said, pouring herself a bourbon.
Shoot, I've got bourbon in my.
I usually have a cappuccino drink.
Huh?
I usually have a latte and cappuccino out of my Keurig. So let's see, what's some more other good gifts? One cool thing I saw was a four element altar cloth. It was listed as a DIY present, a four element altar cloth, taking the four different materials and sewn together a altar cloth for someone. I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
I go through a lot of altar cloths because I get tired of ironing all the wax off with paper bags. So, you know, they get folded up and crunchy until I get through that. So I would think altar cloths might be a good gift because you can use a lot of them. Yep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be specific. You can just get a piece of material that you think is pretty that would make a good altar cloth.
Some other things I would say would be jewelry. Like heathens, you can't go wrong with amber. getting them something like an amber pendant or something, usually with heathens, you just cannot go wrong.
Right. Amber's good.
Because amber's so highly associated with Freya, it's not even funny. Or also something, if you know what path or what deity someone is following, you know, if you can find an inexpensive statue or an inexpensive, like, representation of that deity, that's awesome. I know Ulf has gotten me a couple of different representations of Freya before, right. And I know you all have gotten me, I know Samara and Serenity have gotten me a really cool representation of Freya as well.
Yeah, we got her a burned one from a fellow Puff veteran.
There's a lot of stuff that can be out there.
Don't just get any deity, though. I will warn that. Just don't get any deity. Get a deity that you know that the person actually works with.
Yeah, because if someone got me something from Baron Samedi, I'd be like,
funny. Or Loki.
Wiccan, I pretty much like any, you can give me any god or goddess statue. I would probably be pretty pleased as a general Wiccan. I never know quite when I would use one on an altar, so I might pull one up for different purposes. I might pull up a Sekhmet one time and a Freya and the next, depending on what I had in mind to do.
Right.
So my love of gods and goddesses are right up there with, you know, my choice of alcohol. Just bring it.
Well, and the thing is, you know, this is if you, you know, how depends on just how well you know the person. I mean,
Indeed. Like with me,
if someone put a Baron Samedi in front of me, I'd be like, I'm sure I'll run into somebody who works with him one of these days and I'll pass it off to them. Versus somebody gives me a representation of Loki, I'd probably laugh. And put it on my Odin altar because, you know, Loki and Odin are blood brothers, and so they're linked there.
Right.
I have like three altars in my house, but I've got my Odin and my Freya, and then I have my other one.
I have very different altars with very different focuses. So. Very different.
I think another good thing is a blank journal, maybe with a nice pen or something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect them to use it as a, you know, as a book of shadows or anything, but as far as a nice journal and pen, it's really nice when you're, you know, if that person's keeping track of their tarot cards, their dreams, or, you know, anything that they see, omens, stuff like that. A blank journal is always good.
And another thing you can do as far as a blank journal goes, like, say, you don't have a lot of cash, you can always, if you want to DIY it, get a binder and then, you know, like, make a really cool cover for the binder, put some loose leaf paper in there, and find a nice pen, put it with that, and voila. Because I know a lot of pagans, I know their book of shadows tend to be binders because they can add stuff in, like add pages in, because eventually your first notebook gets a little too thick and you need to go,
Right. I have about 20 binders, so yeah, here you go.
Alcohol is always welcomed, especially with heathens. And if someone has wine on some Ardbeg, scotch, there's a certain host of this podcast that would really like some. Sorry, shameless self promotion. Last time I had it was like, I got some about 6 years ago, and it was in Canada. I cannot find it in this country, and I miss the stuff. It's good stuff. Anyway. And the last time I had that
some other
that
good
was
gifts.
Anyway,
like
other
it,
good
gifts. There's a really cool book out, coloring book out now. Have you seen it?
Which one?
The Book of Shadows coloring book.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a Book of Shadows coloring book. It's got 71 sided pages. Wild Hunt actually has a gift giving guide out this year. They do it every year. The Wild Hunt 2016 Winter Solstice gift guide is on their page. It was posted the 25th of November, so you may have to go a little bit back in the archive to see it. They list a bunch of different books that you can get. Most pagans I know buy books like crazy, so you might want to make sure they don't have it before you buy it for them.
True.
But one of the things they have listed is the Book of Shadows coloring book. The pages include the sabbats, crystals, herbs, elements, and more.
You know, it's funny, but when I think of what a Book of Shadows coloring book might look like in my mind, it would be a lovely coloring book with blank pages. So I'm not sure what they would put in it, because, you know, the point of a Book of Shadows.
Well, it actually has some pretty cool pages.
Shadows.
I'm looking at the website right now.
I can tell you another really good coloring book out there that I have owned, and this is also a good one for heathens, adults, and children alike. Norse gods and goddesses.
Although
me and Ulf kind of had this discussion of which ones I was allowed to color and which ones he was allowed to color. there's also a Norse mythology coloring book and a Viking myths and legends coloring book. So they're out there.
Yeah, I've seen gods and goddess ones. I've seen them by fairly well-known, I don't remember who it was, but one or two by fairly well-known popular authors currently. I'm not really sure what they were.
High Priest, Reverend Don Lewis is putting out one, because he was putting out like coloring pages on his Facebook page and the Witch School page there for a while, and I believe he has combined them into a book for sale.
Huh. Well, there's another idea. That might be a good gift for somebody.
Also, something else you can do, and some of this stuff that's coming from me is a little bit of heathen stuff. Something that I did, like I said, one year, is I made a lot of stuff for people. And so I kind of did it two different ways. One was to kind of get in touch with Frigga a little bit. And the other was because I wanted to give my friends, you know, handmade gifts. And so when I was making the stuff and I do crochet, like I would like crochet with the intention of, you know, good luck, prosperity, all sorts of good wishes for whoever I was making that item for. And apparently all the little gifts I gave to people went over great. I mean, you can do all sorts of nerdy things. If your friend is a pagan and a gamer, you can never go wrong with dice bags. Never, 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 never. Pouches are a great thing. And if you hit me up, actually on our Facebook page, I can get you a down and dirty pattern for a dice bag that I use. It's easy. It takes me about 3-4 hours to punch out one dice bag on that one. But, you know, the thing was, is when I was like doing it, it was kind of like I would be like, you know, kind of as I would do it, is I would kind of ask her different things, and then I would say, you know, kind of say blessings as I did the stitches and stuff. And so, you know, it actually went over really well with people.
Right. Well,
Sorry, go on, Lady Vanessa.
Oh, I made little mini chime
the chime size candles. I made many holders for those this year. And I was going to give some as gifts, but I had a friend who liked them so much that she commissioned me to do, oh gosh, I think I did over 30 for her. I'm never making another one again. You know, I love making gifts, and I love helping my friends out with their gifts, but my goodness, sometimes. But I have heard, by the way, some interesting things about knitting and crocheting, that there are actually, well, I know there is with quilters, there are songs and chants you can sing while you're doing that, and that imbibes the material you're making with a certain magic. So I'm sure there's a whole history of that out there somewhere. Just wanted to throw that one out there. I've heard that. I'm
and
not
another
a
thing you can never go wrong with. Another thing you can never go wrong with is a calendar, especially like a farmer's almanac. There's year and a day calendars. There's the witch's almanac, stuff like that.
There's a year and a day.
So I know
the Gardnerian calendar available at www.gbgcalendar.com. I have to plug them. They're good friends of mine. They make a fabulous product. Available now.
Available now. And I know, like, I'm the worst at keeping track of the moon phases, and I haven't had a witch's calendar.
No, no.
I know. I used to love it.
You are not the worst at keeping track of moon phases. I am, because I don't even practice. Huh?
That's what your phone is for. You can get a nice, get 300 million apps out there for tracking your moon phases.
Hey, I
have
track
one,
my moon
and
phase.
I don't ever look at it.
Yeah, I hear you. I've got planetary magic apps, and yeah, I just go on and do the magic. I don't worry about the planetary hours. I really should. It would be more complicated and more devout, I suppose, if I did.
Get a little bit more of an oomph.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things out there. Like I said, there's a lot of, you know, pagan vendors that create leather products, that create jewelry. I mean, like, I'm not going to go into it right
Samara.
Now, but I create jewelry.
Samara, all sorts of cool, really cool steampunky things. Sorry, I'll
yes.
plug
okay.
yeah,
you.
I
make
guess
nice
go.
Jewelry. You do make
okay,
nice jewelry.
Okay, I wasn't going to plug myself, but since...
But
you know,
if you go looking for steam... and you have a friend that's very steampunky and you want to support a pagan, please, please, please find Samara's site, go to Steam and Lace and buy something from her. She would appreciate it. Thank you.
Now I have to go update my website. Now I have to go to update my Facebook page because I haven't been posting stuff on it.
I make jewelry too.
I've been kind of in a lull lately.
I make jewelry too, but I don't make steampunk. I do work with different stones mostly, but I don't have, you know, much either on Lady Vanessa's page, just some. But I like the steampunk. You have the lovely gears, and the colors are not just silver, which is what most of my friends like. You get a choice of bronzes and things that people who do steampunk tend to like, so... You have a little bit more color choice. Most people I know just want something silver-toned.
I try to do a little bit of everything. I upcycle a lot of my pieces, so it kind of just, like, a lot of stuff I add to it will be new, but a lot of the times the base thing that I'm working with is being upcycled. So it kind of,
right.
It always depends on what I get.
Right.
But, you know, if you're interested, Steam and Lace, Steam and Lace on Facebook.
Right.
Another thing, if you know this person likes such a thing, tattoos are good.
Gift cards to your local pagan store are always good also.
Yes.
Gift cards for a tarot reading would be good too, said Lady Vanessa.
I know, I was going to go to that one next. And Lady Vanessa does a great job. Someone that was a doubter of tarot cards and had never had a tarot reading but was always interested had just went and saw her a couple weeks ago and loves it now.
Oh. Well, I also
you
kind of
freak
tarot
out.
Reading. I also teach tarot reading, which is probably my greater joy anymore. And I love to share my knowledge and my experience and help other people become enthusiastic and excited about the craft of tarot reading. So there's that too. I'm
and
available
if you know
for that,
that they
as well.
Are interested, and if you know that, that someone is interested in learning how to read tarot cards, you can always buy them a set. Some people just aren't really interested in learning for themselves, but if you know that they are, some people believe that a set that is gifted to them, but, you know, given to them as a gift, is actually more powerful than the one they buy themselves. I don't know if I believe that personally, but a lot of people do. So, you know, it's always, if you know that they're interested, you can always buy them a tarot set.
Right. Tarot cards are a complicated art, there's no doubt about it, and enjoyed by hundreds of thousands of people the world over. Certainly a fun pastime, if not a deep divinatory experience like it is for some of us. So I thank you, by the way, for the compliment. The Marilena.
Yeah,
that
you kind of freaked my sister-in-law out a little bit, but she loved it.
Uh-oh. I didn't mean to. But thank you.
No, it was a good freak out.
Good, good. I'm glad, and I hope she actually considers taking up the art because it's certainly worth exploring.
Rune set
so,
for heathens.
Before we go in, anything else? Yes. Were there any other gifts?
Well, I said rune sets. That's another good one.
You said most of us who have rock issues, I love my little stones, all my little stones. You can usually give someone a collection of assorted stones, and they're delighted to have those. If nothing else, they look beautiful and they're shiny. You know, so that's
and
always
another,
a good.
You know what? As far as stones, you know, it's, I found really nice. I actually bought this for myself. It'd probably make a really good gift for someone, too. Sometimes you can find the little set of where it's like a bottle of chipped stones, and it's a set of like four or five different ones.
Right.
Those come in really handy for workings because you can use them on your altar. You can put them in mojo bags. I mean, you can,
right.
You can do a lot with those little chips.
Right.
So if you know someone and you can find they're they do tend to be expensive in some places, but sometimes you can find them really cheap. Those
right.
would probably make really good gifts because they can be used in a lot of different ways then.
Yes, they can. That's good.
And my puppy over here reminded me as she's snoring away that another good gift for pagans out there, if you know like a favorite charity that someone supports, you can also make a donation in their name to a charity.
Right.
Because some people, you know, love a certain charity that maybe really can't afford to give to the charity. And some people, you know, don't really want much for physical things. So sometimes people just, you know, would appreciate, you know, hey, you know, somebody gave to my name to, you know, like,
right.
you know, the Humane Society or something like that. So.
Right. That is a very good gift. Gift that keeps on giving.
And we can thank little Miss Brynja over here, who right now is snoring and apparently chasing after squirrels in her sleep.
All right. So then I will go on, and we will talk about events coming up real quick. Let's see. December 10th, this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. here in New Albany, Indiana, just right across the river from Louisville, Kentucky. They're having a fairy doll workshop. Where you will be creating fairy dolls
The class fee is $15 per person and includes materials. Glue guns will be available. It is recommended that you bring your own. That is at Green Earth Outdoors. Or no, wait a minute. Sorry, I was looking at something completely different. Whew, sorry about that. It is at the Arts Council of Southern Indiana in New Albany, Indiana. Sorry. Let's see. Also, there is coming up PAC December, the Pagan Alliance Kentuckiana, Tuesday, December 13th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And actually, on the page it had said it was at Denny's, but it's actually going to be at For Goodness Crepes in Louisville, Kentucky on Baxter Avenue.
Right.
Also, there is a December full moon, December 14th at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Goddess and the Moon in Spence Lane in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's see. Also on my list is the Kilts and Corsets campaign that is going through Thursday, December 15th. So if you want to give to Tuatha Dea's new CD, it's on was it GoFund or Indiegogo, and it's called the Kilts and Corset Campaign. Let's see, there is a Yule Gathering 2016 at Midian Festivals and Events, December 17th to the 18th, it says, 2 p.m. December 17th to 10 a.m. December 18th in Springville, Indiana. There is also a Winter Solstice Scene Ritual, a celebration of the darkness and the light, at the First Unitarian Church of Louisville on 4th Street in downtown Louisville. That is December 17th from 7 p.m. It says to December 18th at 7 p.m., but Lady Vanessa, do you know that's not going all night, is it? I guess I lost Lady Vanessa.
Oh, no, I hear you.
Okay.
Oh, I was just asking, do you know if the Yule, the Winter Solstice Singing Ritual, is on the Facebook page, it says it's going like from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. the next day. Do you know how long that's lasting by chance?
Wait a second. I'm having trouble. Okay. The Singing Solstice Ritual?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're having one. They're having one at on the 17th, which is Saturday at First U, and then it's about maybe an hour or so long, and then there's usually a reception, and then on the 18th on Sunday, I know that the event will happen, and it's I believe from 7 until 8:30. There is a reception following the event. Sure, what time, quite frankly, but there's a reception, and I know that the chapter at First Unitarian Church will be serving snacks following the singing solstice.
Okay, I was just a little confused about how the Facebook event was set up. So,
yeah, I see that. I saw that too, and I agree with you. It wasn't quite put out there right, but it's two separate events. I know Sunday for sure, and I believe they're also doing it on a Saturday as well. They usually do it at least twice every season. It's a beautiful, deeply moving experience, and I have to recommend it to anyone who gets the opportunity.
Right. Let's see. Also, Sunday, December 18th, there is a Yule celebration at Edwin Warner Park in Nashville, Tennessee.
Cool.
Winter Solstice with Mother Grove, Seeing Up the Sun, is December 18th, also 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Cathedral of All Souls in Asheville, North Carolina. Let's see. And I think that is all I'm going to say for now, going through the end of December. Let's see. Also, we don't know about the Witches Meetup yet, or Night Out, or I can't remember what it's called anymore. But you do have the Wiccan Reads that's next month, isn't it?
What? I'm sorry. Wiccan Reads?
Wiccan Reads is next month, right?
Yeah. No, December. we've been on hiatus since August. We had a great meeting and personal issues in September, and then Samhain kicks in the winter season. So yeah, we're scheduled to restart in January. Watch closely for notices about that event. So currently we've got that scheduled to occur at the Cure Lounge the fourth Thursday in January, which is the 26th. And our topic will be, as announced last time, our topic will be on holidays, pagan and mundane, and how you celebrate and combine those or not. So that's the topic.
All right. And next week's show, we will be having Byron Ballard on. We will be discussing with her a lot of her writings. We will be discussing Tower Time, which is something she's been writing about, and what it is and how to prepare for it. And that will be 9 p.m. Eastern next Thursday here on Pagans Tonight on the Tree of Life Hour.
Right.
So I guess that is it for tonight. So, Lady Vanessa, is there anything you wanted to say before we leave for the night?
I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, whatever path they follow, and blessings upon everybody. So let's enjoy it. Share it with others.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say, everyone have a blessed evening, and we will be speaking to you all next week.
And y'all be safe out there.
And let's see, since we've been discussing holidays, I'm going to play Dave the Bard, or Dom the Bard, however you want to say it, and The Wheel. So everyone have a blessed evening, and see you next week.
To stay in my crying greets the dawn. Tears of dew form on the web as I am reborn. Feel new life spring from the earth as the child, I will soon become a man. Ah. Sense the animal inside. As every creature on the land feels the rising tide. The natural rhythms of the the goddess takes my hand into the forest green with the horned man. Ah. Ah. time is drawing near. I see my lady smile at me. Inside I feel no fear. As she raises the scythe above her head, blood spills on the earth as I fall dead. In the other world I guard her throne till she returns.
Listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.